Can you hear that? Well, no. Oh, well, excellent news. That must mean you're now listening to Noise Cancelling, your new favourite tech podcast that takes the week's events in tech and then tries to sound like we know what we're talking about with them. But before we get into that, let's meet the team.
I'm Sherielle Smith, editor-in-chief of Laptop Mag.
I'm Vic Hood, gaming writer at Tech Radar.
I'm James Peckham, phones editor for Tech Radar.
And I'm Gareth Beavis, global editor-in-chief of Tech Radar. And as you can probably hear, three of us have got different accents to one other person. Gives us a lovely international cross-Atlantic comparison there. How are you, Cherie, this week? How are the things over stateside?
It's sunny. I haven't been outside to feel the sun, but, you know, the work at home is in full effect. Keeping spirits up as much as possible and cranking out a bunch of reviews and face-offs and how-tos and the like.
Great. I mean, yeah, it's been pretty sunny over here as well, which is tough when you've got to stay inside so much. But at least we get a short amount of mandated exercise every day that we can go out and enjoy. How are you guys? Vic, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Yeah, sticking all my time into Animal Crossing, up to my eyes in debt to Tom Nook, but it's fine. I'm paying him off slowly, one branch at a time.
Right. I know this is making me sound older and older. I thought I understood Animal Crossing, and now I feel like I really don't. Yeah, it seems like it's sort of like something to do with The Sims, but also to do with like a little Nintendo Mii character, and you don't achieve anything except get into debt.
Sort of like life.
Yeah, exactly. Why are you doing that?
Well,
it's like Second Life.
I love all those. And Second Life is a whole other thing and less family friendly. But yeah, I don't know. It's quite relaxing. It's always sunny. Everyone's happy to see you. You can go within 2 feet of them. It's lovely.
2 feet is really close, Vic. Do you mean meters?
I'm not great with measuring. Maybe that's what the problem is.
I mean, when you can see people, try to stay more than 2 feet away.
I just stay away from them.
And James Peckham, aka hilariously Pexy.
I'm good. I'm also playing Animal Crossing as well. I've just started getting my first fossils in the game. I think I'm well behind everyone else, but I've started finally getting T-Rex fossils. And Gareth, why is your head in your hands?
I don't understand what you're saying.
I've got some fossils, and I'm putting them in the museum with the owl blathers.
How are you only getting them now?
I've not played it that much.
I've never been an Animal Crossing person. I don't think I ever will be.
Not on this channel. I genuinely feel really old. I'm like, just read a book. Fuck's sake.
I just don't get sitting there, playing this game, and immediately once I get there, I owe rent of a million or whatever Animal Crossing's currency is to a fuzzy landlord. Just because he's fuzzy doesn't make it cute. It doesn't make the working the dead off any more fun.
Why is it bells?
No, don't ask questions, Gareth. It's just as bells. It's just, you know, the best part of Animal Crossing is if you don't ask questions, you just got to experience it.
This is literally sounds like 1984 now.
Yeah, either that or bad drugs. Like, I can't describe it. You got to try it, man.
Well, I mean, at least it's keeping you guys occupied. That's the best thing, really, isn't it? Right, well, things that have happened in tech this week. Pexy, Huawei P40, something you've brought to the table. Is it actually exciting? Can Cherie get it? Do we care?
First question, is it exciting? Yes, I think. So this is the new series of Huawei flagship phones, the P40 series. There's the Huawei P40, the Huawei P40 Pro, and the Huawei P40 Pro Plus, which is potentially the most mouthful of a name from a phone so far this year.
Well, I think Pro Max, iPhone 11 Pro Max is up there.
True, yeah.
That's last year, I know, but still, it's popular.
Yeah, the Pro Max, yeah. So the Pro Plus is the top-end phone in the range, if the name didn't show you that. That has got the 100x zoom that we've already seen on the Samsung devices. It's also got two telephoto lenses on the back. I don't fully understand yet why that is. I'm really excited to try out the zoom capabilities of that phone to see if two telephoto cameras really works that well. So these three new phones from Huawei are relatively exciting in terms of spec, but the thing hanging over them is still the software, as it has been for the last 9 months on all Huawei devices, including the Mate 30 series, which launched last year. Because of the Huawei ban in the US, it now means that Huawei is no longer able to use Google mobile services. So that means you won't be able to get the Google Play Store, and you won't be able to get YouTube, and you won't be able to get Gmail, any of those kind of apps onto your smartphone. A lot of people are embedded in that service if they're already an Android user. So they are tough sell at the moment. We'll have to wait and see if Huawei does well with these devices. They probably will do in China. In terms of will Cherie be able to buy one, I don't think you will. Huawei doesn't often release its devices in the US anyway. So far, it doesn't look like that's going to be the case in the US. We don't even know if it's coming to the UK. It seems that it will be, but we've not had exact confirmation of that yet from the press conference.
I'm really glad you brought this to the running order. It's brilliant.
It's the biggest phone of like probably the next few months as well, to be honest, because of our old friend COVID-19 and how it's going to affect all of mobile phones at the moment.
It's always fun, you know, reading about phones that I will never see nor touch. It's, you know, like it's the best kind of FOMO, I guess, if there is to be a best kind.
I mean, the whole Huawei ban, can't use it. America, I don't feel like it's a big problem anyway. I think Huawei's still got a lot to do in terms of proving itself as a viable mobile phone manufacturer anyway, but it was on a really nice upward trajectory. Mm. Everyone was starting to really get involved with the cameras, and it just feels it's a bit of a shame that that's being disabled, but it is what it is. And like I said, it's been difficult, hasn't it? I mean, wasn't there a case where people weren't allowed to see the phone under embargo, but they could feel it?
Yeah, we had a piece up on the site because one of our writers was allowed to feel the phone, but they weren't allowed to see it in the flesh. That was a bit of a strange one. It looked like a little bit like something from our game show in the UK, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, where you put your hand into a box and like this full of spiders or something. But instead, it was actually a really nice, svelte-feeling phone. So yeah, the whole aim to show that off was because it's got a curved display on all four edges of the phone. So the top and bottom edge of the phone is also curved. I don't fully understand what the reasoning is for that yet. It doesn't seem to be that impactful in the way you hold the phone, but we'll know by the time of our full review.
And what about the other end of the scale? I know you had a Nokia briefing as well. Mm. But again, you couldn't actually see the phone, is that right?
Yeah, again, because of coronavirus, we weren't allowed to actually hold the phone in our hands. So we've seen details and press images and everything of the new Nokia 8.3 5G. That is the first phone from Nokia that has 5G capabilities, and they are referring to it as the first global 5G phone because of the amount of 5G bands it handles. It will work on more 5G bands than, say, for example, the Samsung Galaxy S20, which has been probably the most top-end 5G phone that we've seen from any of the manufacturers. Apart from that, it's not the most exciting phone. It's probably going to feature in the new James Bond movie. Well, it will feature in the new James Bond movie. That may be one of the most exciting things of it. But again, that James Bond movie is also been pushed back, so it's going to be a while until we get to see that.
Wow, I mean, just top-notch stuff from you today, Fexy.
Yeah, bringing it all to the table.
Cherie, which one of those do you care more about, Nokia or Huawei?
I mean, I'm not going to get either one, probably. So I guess they're both a close they're in a dead heat on my care meter.
But you will probably be able to buy one and not the other. I think the Nokia is coming to the US, so that would probably make your decision if you had to choose between these two.
Then
phones.
I care about the Nokia. Then that's the one I care about.
Vic, what phone do you have?
An iPhone something. I genuinely don't know. It's an iPhone. What's this one? I don't know.
We are now trying to work it out on Vic's webcam. Can you show us the back?
It's black.
Could be the 7.
Oh, that's not
helping. It's either 7 or an 8, isn't it? I can't work out where the camera is.
The 7 one was the only one in the jet black, wasn't it?
Okay, there we go.
Oh, man. I wish I hadn't just said that. I feel like, you know.
It's the iPhone 7.
There you go. Well,
I mean, like, I don't know which way, whether I feel proud or not about that one.
Listeners, let us know.
Cherie, what's been going on with the news your side of the world?
You know, a lot of work from home stuff. We just finished up our full review of the MacBook Air.
Spoilers for the next session. Come on.
I'm sorry. I'm just excited. This is my first MacBook Air review. I can't help it. But a lot of work from home news, a lot of guides, more Windows 10 fails.
They're commonplace.
I could write a book on Windows 10 fails at this point. And a lot of Xbox Series X, PS5 back and forth.
Yeah, there has been a lot of back and forth, hasn't there? I mean, Vic, you've written most of it. Is either console good at this point? I feel like everyone's just like, well, that one's great, and that one's great, and that one's great, and that one's great.
I think they're both going to be good. We've kind of seen the specs, so we know they're both going to be powerful. I think the biggest factor, maybe for a lot of people, is going to be things like the games and the price, and we haven't heard any of that stuff yet. So we know they're both going to be... The Xbox Series X will probably be more powerful, I have to keep saying par, but I know that in my accent it's not great. But it's
beautiful.
In terms of specs, it's probably going to be the strongest, but it really depends, because PlayStation wasn't as powerful this time round, and it was the games that kind of gripped it and the features and a lot of stuff like that. So until we get that information, it's kind of, it's hard to tell who's going to kind of win, if, as you, well, I guess, if it's win.
I think that when they become available, I think that people are going to, both are going to sell out, but I think that Sony is going to sell out first, just because people are going to bank that they won the last round of console wars, because Xbox was the most powerful system last gen, and they didn't have the games to back it up. This year, what's going to change is that in the interim, Microsoft has been buying up little development houses like Cheetos, M&M's, crisps, whatever snack you like. That's what Microsoft's...
Thank you for crisps.
Microsoft has been doing that. They've got Ninja Theory and a bunch of like well-known studios under their belts. So this time around, if they can manage the games, they might be the victor this time around. But it really is going to be all up to their development schedule, how they stick to it. I don't want to hear about Crackdown 4 and then see it like 6 years later. Like, if you announce, like, I need this to be a rule. Like, yes, there are going to be delays, but depending, like, if you say something is coming out, try to hit as close to that mark as humanly possible.
Well, on that note, I feel like you told us what needs to happen. I feel a bit like I should respond somehow in defense of something. I don't know what or how, but I feel like I should apologize to you, Cherie, and I'll make sure that Crackdown 4 does happen on time.
I mean, I don't necessarily want Crackdown 4. I don't think anyone does.
What do you want from me then?
A nice smile? I don't know. Okay. A sandwich?
Well, on that note, I think we should take a break and come back with more rich PS5 chat from the one, the only Vic Hood. So today's episode of the Noise Cancelling Podcast is brought to you by ExpressVPN, which is actually our top-rated VPN on TechRadar. Cherie, with all the recent news about the online security breaches and what have you, are you ever worried about where your data goes?
Absolutely. I do a lot of research on a lot of different topics, and I don't want my information being sold to third parties without my consent, and I just don't want people tracking my browser.
But no, but you're right. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants to feel like they're being tracked. You know, it's your own privacy, and you don't want, like you said, your information to be sold, which is why we are talking about ExpressVPN and a chance to take back your privacy. Because, you know, as I think we both used it recently, ExpressVPN has easy-to-use apps, and they run easily on the PC, on phone, and on tablet. I've used it around the world, and it's been pretty good indeed. Not only that, but also I like the fact that it keeps you secure and anonymous. And if you do disconnect at any point, it will allow you to block and stay safe before going back on again should you need to change servers or move around, etc.
What I really like about it is that you get a 3-month free trial, and when you do start paying for it, it's less than $7, so that is mighty gentle on my budget.
Well, yeah, exactly. And obviously, straight away, if it doesn't work for you, you get a 30-day money-back guarantee. But like as I said, you know, with TechRadar, it is our number one rated VPN service for speed and for capabilities, and like I said, just ease of use, etc. as well. And one of the things that's also really important is, I don't know about you, Cherie, but I use public Wi-Fi quite a lot, or I run out of data and I need to find some more stuff with it, and having something like ExpressVPN would actually allow you to keep safe and not worry about hackers stealing your info. As you mentioned, you do get 3 months free if you are a listener to Noise Cancelling Pod. And how do you get that? Very easily. You can protect your online activity today, and to find out more, you can go to expressvpn.com/noise. That's expressvpn.com/noise for that 3 months free with a 1-year package. That's expressvpn.com/noise to learn more. Right, and we are back, but this time we're not talking about news, we are going into the labs. And who's going to sing us in there? I know who it is. It's Cherie.
I am. It's reviews time. Join us in our labs. Laptops, tablets, smartphones, consoles. We talk about them all in reviews land.
Vic, take over.
No. Not, no, I can't top that. I can't top that.
You never know. I don't, like, you might have this whole persona that we don't know about.
Cheeky rap person.
Great. But Vic, back to today. Obviously, we talked about the PS5. I think, were people quite annoyed about the fact that the unveiling wasn't actually the unveiling? I feel like this was the GDC, you know, the Games Developer Conference unveiling that would normally have happened but was cancelled, and it seemed quite dry, right?
It was quite dry, and to be honest, like, Sony was very upfront with the fact that it was going to be a GDC presentation, so that's what it was going to be. It was going to be technical, it was going to be specs, and that's kind of what we expected. But I think the minute that the average person hears that there's going to be a stream, a PS5 reveal or deep dive into anything, they immediately are hoping they'll see the thing, they'll hear about games, they're hoping to get the exciting stuff, and it wasn't that. It was pretty dry, even for me. I think most people found it quite tough going just to absorb the information that they were explaining in such a boring way.
Even with Mark Cerny's amazingly calm voice.
He's just, yeah, they need to have him on, like, Headspace doing, like, doing that presentation, but, like, to put you to sleep.
Teraflops.
I just haven't got teraflops.
Did it make you excited, though?
Didn't. I think, like, we knew it was going to be a powerful console, and I think the level of detail, just sometimes it can be quite alienating to most people. Like, the average person came away from that being like, I don't understand really what's going on, which is what was expected, but I don't think it made me as excited as I hoped it would. Most of the stuff we kind of had an idea about, and he just told us a bit more in depth about certain aspects that we did kind of know about. But I think most people were wanting to hear about games, they wanted to see it, they wanted to just have more of an idea of the stuff that they can actually comprehend. Even, like, throw us a bone and talk about backwards compatibility, but not in spec detail, but just tell us about the features. But that stuff's not going to come for a few months.
Yeah, exactly. And that gives us, you know, people another chance to rev around. We knew we weren't going to get it before Christmas anyway, so, or the holiday season. So essentially, you know, it's another bite of the cherry coming down the line, and people can get excited again. So that's cool in a way.
Yeah. It also means, yeah, that we can kind of put the two consoles side by side and kind of have an idea of what specs we're dealing with both and what they're going to be offering a little bit. But as we said earlier, that's not going to be the be-all and end-all of whether people buy them. It'll be the next reveal, which I expect, and it'll probably be like June, July, the one that we're going to be excited about. That'll be the one that'll actually, it'll probably put people into camps. And I know people don't want to be like, oh, I'm PlayStation, I'm Xbox. But if these are going to be pricey consoles, people probably are going to have to make a choice.
But last week I speculated, probably quite accurately, that I think the PS5 is going to be a perfect sphere. What sort of shape do you think it'll be? I mean, other than agreeing with me completely.
A sphere's an idea.
Thank you.
It's not a good one. It's not a great one. But I don't think it'll be a sphere. I'm sorry to burst your spherical bubble. I think it's not going to be smaller than what the PS4 is. It's going to be probably a bit more robust. I don't know if they'll build out. They might build up, but not as much as Xbox has into, like, PC, like, tower type size. But it's going to have to be a bit bulkier than what we've seen. We're also going to expect a lot of ventilation in there because it is going to pack a lot of power. Why do I have to keep saying the word I can't say?
You're doing beautifully, Vic. Don't say anything like that.
And yeah, I think I don't think they're going to go for the same rough, like, sharp edges that they have. I think they're going to maybe round them out. But what we do know is it's not going to look like those dev kits that we've seen pictures of floating about, because they never do. And that's a bit too alien. So I don't know. It's quite hard to kind of nail it down now. But I think whatever we guess, we're probably still going to get it wrong.
Okay, well, I still think it'll be a ball, but not just a ball that sits on the thing, but it'll be in a magnetic, like, just
floats. I knew you were going to take it to the absolute limits of where this could go. I knew it. You can't help yourself.
A magnetic levitating ball.
Like that crazy baby stereo.
Yeah, exactly.
See, where it, like, floats.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, who wouldn't want that?
So what about all the wires that have to go into it?
Wireless or something, I don't know, like wireless power, or you just plug the wires in. I can't solve everything. I'm just an ideas guy. That's why there's so many plowed these people to fix it. Anyway, from a thing that's coming to a thing that Cherie doesn't believe in, the iPad Pro 2020 has been in our labs. And actually, if you're listening to, hopefully you're listening to this, because if you're not, this is just tree falling in a forest kind of conundrum. The voice you're hearing from me is being filmed or recorded on the new iPad Pro, which apparently has 5 studio quality mics. I say apparently, it does. I've listened to them, they sound good. And so I thought I'm going to try recording on this podcast. But Cherie, I'll tell you first off what I think about the iPad Pro, and then you can tell me why I'm an idiot. I'm confused about this device. I've got the 12.9 inch, and it seems to have very, very little in the way of upgrades about it. So it's the same shape, it's the same design as the iPads that came out in 2018. It's got, I said, apart from very marginally heavier, which I assume is some slight updated componentry through the camera, which has got a time of flight / LiDAR sensor, which basically means it can look at a room and understand, you know, the absolute depth of it rather than just seeing a picture of it. Unfortunately, that's not really being used so far, so it can actually just measure stuff a bit better than it used to be able to. The measure app on the iPads has been there for a while, but now it can just do things more quickly. I don't really see that as much of an upgrade, to be honest with you. And even the chipset inside, you've got in the iPad Pro 2018, you had an A12X Bionic, and now I've got the A12Z/Z Bionic, depending on your leanings there. In reality, there's not much change there. Like, if you really, really stress these machines to the absolute limit, the iPad Pro 2020 does nose ahead just. I mean, like, it didn't crash the benchmarking app and stuff like that, which the original one did. But ultimately, I'm seeing very little difference here. And the only thing that's really been upgraded when they were launching it was the fact that it now has mouse support. So that's the new version of iPad OS and for iOS as well. You can now use a mouse with this MacBook, and it will come with a Magic Keyboard that has a trackpad, but the trackpad's keyboard isn't here yet. And you can also buy both those things for the old iPad. So why would you not spend less and get that? I'm ultimately quite confused. Go.
I mean, it's a tablet, so the design is, like, there's only so much you can do with the shape. Like, until they start doing maybe rollable tablets, it's basically going to be a rectangle forever and ever until there's a new way to design it. So we're pretty much stuck there unless Apple decided to switch things up and use a fabric rear panel instead of metallic. I doubt that's going to happen. I think they've shrunk the bezels to as far as they can humanly go. So we're pretty much stuck with design. The performance, I was a little disappointed about. I read TechRadar's article about it only having 1% better than the last generation. So that was a little surprising.
That was in the build up. I mean, that was sort of like a speculative thing before we actually got our hands on it. And it turns out that we ran our benchmarks through it. And the Geekbench one, which, you know, most people don't care about, it's about real world usage. But in terms of raw numbers, the multi-core score, which is like how much it can do simultaneously, was a bit higher. It was more than 1%, not a lot. And then when you really, really pushed it graphically through some of the 3D Mark tests, the iPad Pro, the new one, like I said, could handle it with aplomb, where the older iPad did struggle a tiny bit and it showed it couldn't do as many frames per second, blah, blah, blah. But this is like really, really top end stuff. And in reality, both of them are so capable and so powerful. For the people, which I believe most of these will be, for the people that just want a really good iPad and they want the keyboard, they want the pencil, and they want that new magic, you know, the magic keyboard, they're going to be fine with either. And that's the key thing here. This doesn't feel like much of an upgrade at all from Apple.
I think that's the problem with, like, with tablets in general. Like, the market has been slow because it's hard to really innovate with this medium. Like, everyone's trying to push the next laptop killer. We're still not there. Like, for the iPad Pro, for all the things that it can do, it still costs about the same as the new MacBook Air, if not a little bit more, once you start throwing in the accessories. It's just light.
And I don't think that that's enough. It's not, being light and portable is great, but when you need to do actual work, you need power. And I don't think tablets are there yet. I think it's a nice goal to get to. I think that for that goal to happen, I think we're about 5 years out from that goal. I think that in terms of tablet production period, I think that the next leap that we should, that we're going to get excited about is about 3 years out. I think the change from now until, I, what are we in 2020 until like 2023, 2024 are going to be incremental changes.
And you mentioned obviously the MacBook Air. I mean, you said you're excited about reviewing your first MacBook. Is it all you dreamed of more?
I mean, I'm just happy to be able to touch one and not know that my editor is going to be like, mine! So it this time I got to be that seal. Mine. I got to do it and it felt good. I mean, it's a MacBook and we ended up giving it a 3.5. What I really liked about it was the battery life. It lasted over 9 hours, about 9 hours and 32 minutes to be exact, if I'm remembering correctly. So that's above our normal premium laptop battery average. So that's also good. That's really good. This is the first time that Apple is putting a quad core processor into a MacBook Air. So it did pretty well on the performance test and the it was on a par. It didn't really beat anything that we threw up against it, but real world testing, it held its own, and that's what people are really going to care about. Design wise, it's still a MacBook Air. We got the gold version, which is just as snazzy as it ever was. And at the end of the day, it's a MacBook Air. Like, it's a little cheaper. Well, it's a lot cheaper. Like, this will be the first time that Apple is extending sort of an olive branch to those of us who don't have $2,000 or more sitting around, and starting it at $999, $899 if you are in education. But it's a MacBook. I'm more excited about the XPS 13.
You've had that in as well this week, right?
I do. Like, I am actually putting the finishing touches on the review, so stay tuned for that. And the face-off between the Air and the XPS 13, I can give you a preview. The battery life was over 12 hours. It was about 1240, I think. So that's great. It's using a 10th gen Core i7 processor. And so right now the productivity benchmarks are looking really, really promising. And Dell has figured out how to get rid of all the bezels. So that means that when you open it up, the display there will be no more bezel. It's just all screen, which is amazing.
And so which one do you like the best right now? I don't care if you don't give us a preview. I'm going to try and worm it out of you.
I mean, you know, in terms of battery life and power, those are things that matter to me. So, like, that leans me towards the Dell. But there are more things to consider. Design and keyboard and price, of course. So, I'm like, right now, in terms of performance, the Dell would have my vote, is what I will give you.
Pexi and Vic, which camp are you in? Pexi, are you a Windows user or a Mac user?
I'm Windows for work and Mac at home, generally.
Ooh,
I'm quite relatively well-versed in both, yeah. Yeah, crossing the divide. That's mostly because I've just been issued a Windows work PC, really. And then home, just use a MacBook. So I'm kind of like between the two, really. I enjoy both. They're both great.
Yeah, I've always used Windows for everything. I don't think I've never owned a Mac. The last time I used a Mac was at like university, and that was it. I can't stand them.
Okay.
That was like 30 years ago, right? Right, Vic?
But thank you for taking a stand there, at least. You know, like, I can't stand Macs. That's an opinion, and that's what we want. We want that kind of thought through. And that leads us nicely into our next section, unpopular opinions. But first, we're going to have one more message from our sponsors. Today's episode of Noise Cancelling Podcast is also brought to you by Blinkist. Cherie, you like time, right, don't you? You like to have as much of it as possible?
Of course.
I feel like you're one of the smartest people around. That's also true, yeah?
Aww, I love that you think so, but no, not at all.
Oh, well, I can help you both ways here, because I can tell you something that gives you a little bit of time back and makes being smart that little bit easier. Tell you what it is, it's called Blinkist. It's difficult to find time to sit down, to read, and to learn more. You want to do those things, you want to get through so many books, but you just don't have the free time and you can't really feel like you're, you know, developing yourself personally and inside. And that's where Blinkist comes in. So it works on phone, on tablet, on web browser. And what it does is that it takes lots of information from, you know, nonfiction and informational books and condenses it down to 15 minutes that you can just actually read or listen to. So you know what? We can just listen to it on a commute, on a workout, or just on a lunch break. So have I gathered your attention so far?
Well, absolutely. Like, I personally have a goal of reading 5 books a month that I very rarely hit, so this sounds like a way for me to hit that mark.
Well, I actually read 3 books in under an hour doing this. Obviously, you don't read the whole stuff, but you get the real information. It takes you from self-help to business, health, and history books as well. You know, the really classic nonfiction titles that you know you always mean to read, but you never get the time to, and it gives you a chance to learn everything that's important, but ultimately, it feels like it's basically cheating on books, but in like a really nice way. So this week, actually, I tried out and listened to The 4-Hour Work Week by Tim Ferriss. And you know what? It was actually pretty good. It was short. I learned things. I found out that, you know, 20% of what happens makes 80% of stuff happen. And that made me feel like I've got to really think about myself. I've got to do more things. And I picked that up really quickly. I'm going to read to you 4 more titles from the technology section and tell me which one you'd like to listen to. Life After Google by George Gilder, Tools and Weapons by Brad Smith and Carol Ann Brown, The AI Economy by Roger Bootle, Where Man Will Take Us by Atul Jalan, and Reinventing the Product by Eric Schaefer and David Sovey. Cherie, which one of those tickles your tech brain?
Tools and Weapons sounds very intriguing, as does The AI Economy.
If you want to try it out, you and our audience can do so, because with Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want, and all for one low price. And for right now, listeners, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for you. Go to blinkist.com/noise to try it free for 7 days, and you'll save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, blinkist.com/noise to start your 7-day free trial. And you'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up to where, Cherie?
Blinkist.com/noise.
We are back. Cherie, sing us in to your favourite section. What is it? It's...
Unpopular opinions. Let your hate unfurl. Hot takes are welcome. Rain down all that dislike. Unpopular opinions.
In terms of unpopular opinions this week, it's less about a controversial thing and more an annoying situation. A lot of people are working from home this week, obviously, and maybe for a few weeks' time. So they're having to do video chats with their bosses for the first time ever. And they've got to get a webcam. And you cannot buy a webcam anywhere around the world right now. They're sold out. They're like the toilet roll of the tech world. And it's really annoying. You can't even get like really cheap ones, except on eBay at the moment, where, you know, there's some stuff kicking around. But otherwise, they're just selling out like everywhere. But then Cherie has an opinion on how to get it if you want to spend a lot of money, right?
Yes, Logitech. We just finished reviewing the Logitech Stream Cam. It is a tiny little thing that is targeting newbie streamers. I mean, that's always a great thing. What I'm not too keen on is the price. It is $169. What puts it at the top end of what you expect to pay for a webcam.
Can't get over that.
Yeah. What's cool about it is that it's very small and compact. It does 1080p in 60 frames per second. It has a 3-month trial of XSplit, which it helps you stream. So you can get that beautiful selfie of yourself while you are playing the game, which is cool. It also plays nice with Twitch and OBS. What I don't like about it is that it is UBC only. So if you need to use an adapter to hook it up, it then clips the frames per second from 60 to 30, which is a bit of no bueno. And there is no privacy cover. So there are definitely caveats to this cutesy little device, but it is powerful in its own right. I just wish it was a little bit cheaper.
Does it actually do good looking stuff when you actually stream from it?
It does. It really does. Like, I'm surprised that something so tiny has such good video quality. But I don't know, like, if you're targeting it towards newbies, I don't know if they would pay for that. The draw is that Logitech has put in proprietary software that will make it easier to just plug and play or plug and record, but I'm not sure if people would be willing to open up their wallets for that type of service. But maybe it's just me.
I mean, I have found that, you know, doing all these video conferences with my team across the world at the moment, you can see who's invested in a webcam and who hasn't. There are some people it's crystal clear, lovely, you know, really, really clean footage, and some people where it's like they've drawn their face and they're wiggling in front of a camera. I'm looking at you, Vic. I feel like you're the biggest you're the biggest target in terms of, like, I can never see what you're actually doing sometimes.
Is it, well, because of my webcam? It's the work laptop. I haven't got, like, a separate webcam.
There's a bright light behind you.
But it's also, it's because the light comes behind me. Like, if I turned round,
I'd pay $150 for that.
Vic, have you ever streamed gaming as a gaming writer?
I haven't. I have got XSplit. But I just haven't got around to trying it. It's currently stuck in the office, to be honest. I haven't been able to get it home now since the offices have closed. But yeah, I keep meaning to try, but then I feel like I don't know if anyone would watch if I did it.
Anyone ready to find out?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I mean, I haven't done it either, but I'm thinking about starting. And Mike Andronico, editor-in-chief over at Tech Radar, he actually does a stream that focuses on fighting games.
No, I'm Tech Radar, thank you. I'm Tech Radar.
Oh, I'm sorry, Tom Scott. Listen, you're on my mind. You should be happy about that. But our sister's, Mike Andronico, is actually the editor-in-chief of our sister site, Tom's Guide, and he is running a Twitch that focuses on fighting games. I think it might be called Mike Strikes Back. I'll get some clarification, but very good stream. And right now it's just a bunch of us watching and people that like fighting games. So I actually think that's a good way to start with nobody watching, because you can just get used to just talking to the camera and talking to the audience that isn't there. So when they are there, you don't have bad habits like I do, like where I just drift off into space because I'm so deeply immersed into the game, I forget I need to talk.
Yeah, see, I do it, and people have told me to do it, but it's only because I'm so angry. It's when I play, I get real rage game. James can attest to this. He's watched me play Rayman in the office, and I get so, I guess, I get blue, if my language is the best way to say.
I was doing 2 meter distance before that even came in.
I do too, and like, since I don't play multiplayer a lot, I forget that about myself until I'm in the multiplayer. I'm like, oh, I'm a bit of a bastard. Oh, okay. I forgot. Like, let me tone it down.
And this is Animal Crossing, right? Everyone's just screaming at each other, like, something about islands.
It's rage-inducing.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't get a tarantula, it's crawling along the floor. You don't know when you're going to get him again.
Well, on that note, I feel like we've hit our time now. So I feel like I've had a lot of fun. Thank you very much, guys. It's been good to chat to you across the pond, as they call it. And all it leaves for me to say is thank you for listening to the... I forgot the name of our podcast then. Listening to the Noise Cancelling Podcast. If you are listening to this on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, please do give us lovely 5 stars if you think we deserve it. Please subscribe to hear the latest episodes. And as I've mentioned already many times, Noise Cancelling Pod is part of the Audio Boom's original network. So if you do want to check out more of those, head over to Audio Boom to find out what they are. And it just leaves me to say goodbye from me, Gareth Beavis, Editor-in-Chief of Tech Radar. Don't know why I gave my title again, just in case. Goodbye from you, Cherie.
Goodbye from me, and if you want to follow me on Twitter, it is MissSmith11, MissSmith11, and of course, go to Laptop Mag and read all of our reviews, face-offs, best pages, and the like, and we're also on Facebook and Twitter.
Goodbye from you, Pexy.
Goodbye. I'm at JamesRWP on Twitter. Please follow me.
I don't know why everyone's giving their promotions, but carry on. Vic, goodbye from you. Might as well.
Goodbye from me, and I will also shamelessly plug my Twitter handle, which is at @hood_Vic. Easy to remember.
I'm not going to tell you mine. You can go and find it yourselves if you want to go and see me on Twitter. Thank you very much, everyone, and we will speak to you next week. Bye.
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 Bye.